listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, are you volunteering? The Browns do, and that's what First and 10 is all about. Make your pledge to give 10 today by committing 10 hours of community service on clevelandbrowns.com. Wear your orange wristband to make a statement that you give back. The Cleveland Browns team is part of the First and 10 movement, and so can you. Give 10. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, bringing our producer Dave DiNatale here for a little after further review before we get to your phone calls at 216-578-0850.
After further review.
All right, guys, got four of them here for you this afternoon. Let's start with
number one.
People say, or Jason Gibbs in this case says, it takes three games to really get a feel for what an NFL team will be. What do we know about the 2015 Cleveland Browns after three games?
That they are still searching for their identity, that this is a team that has a philosophy, it's got its plan, and so far the execution of that plan has not been where they want it to be, and so they need to either figure out a way to execute the original plan or adapt to a new plan.
I agree with that, and to continue to expound and stay positive is I believe there is fight in these Cleveland Browns, because if you look across the NFL, it is very easy to pack it up and say, oh, okay, you had the better day, you've outplayed us in every facet of the game, and we've made our fair share of mistakes. But the veterans in this locker room, along with some young players, you know, bowed up their neck and tried to get to overtime, which it's anybody's football game at that point.
All right, guys.
Number two.
After three games, who are the top three offensive weapons on this Cleveland Browns team?
Top three offensive weapons, I'll go first. I would say it's very clear that Travis Benjamin is an offensive weapon. I believe that Brian Hartline showed enough last game in his ability to make a catch when the ball's thrown anywhere, high, low, in between, to make those circus catches. So Brian Hartline, I think, can be a weapon, and after last week will hopefully grow in his role as a part of this offense. And then I know there's been some negative remarks in regarding to Duke Johnson, but I think that Duke Johnson, used the right way, which I still don't technically believe that we have, can be a weapon for the Cleveland Browns.
I'm going to say the number one weapon has been Travis Benjamin. The number two weapon, speaking off of statistics, because he's tied for the team league in catches, he's second on the team in yards and receiving touchdowns, is Gary Barnage.
Okay.
You can let that sink in for a second. Granted, most of that production came in one game, but right now it is Gary Barnage.
Let it ruminate.
Let it ruminate. And I would say number three is Johnny Manziel. I think he brings the big plays. He brings explosiveness in limited time. He's averaging 9 yards an attempt, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception, a quarterback rating of 99.7 for Johnny Manziel. That's really over the course of 2 games, if we're going to be honest about it. The guys that need to be Isaiah Crowell, Duke Johnson, Dwayne Bowe, Andrew Hawkins. Those guys need to step up. Josh McCown, since he is the starting quarterback, those guys need to step up.
All right, halfway through.
After further review.
Number three.
Stopping the run or the play of the secondary for the Browns? What's your biggest concern?
Stopping the run. Stopping the run, because I believe I have faith in who makes up the back end of our defense in Joe Hayden, Tremont Williams, Dante Whitner, and Tashawn Gibson. I have faith that they can make the plays when in ideal situations, and the only way you create ideal situations is by stopping the run.
Last year, we were as good a pass defense as there one is in the league, and it didn't translate to victories because they couldn't stop the run. So I am the most concerned about the inability to stop the run. If you stop the run, you put yourself in some good situations, and that's what they need to do.
And finally,
number four,
the running game or the offensive line? What's your biggest concern for the Browns on the offensive side?
I think they go hand in hand, and it all starts and ends with the offensive line. So I say it's my biggest concern. More consistency, more domination, more physicality is what I would love to see out of that offensive line.
I think this offensive line is the biggest concern on offense because everything is predicated upon it being elite, the ability to run the football, the ability to give your quarterback time to make plays. I believe in the talent just as you do in the back end, but I want to see it. I want them to come out and deliver and perform at the level we all hope and expect them to perform at going forward.
All right, guys, that is this week's edition of...
After Further Review.
After Further Review. Appreciate it, Dino. Let's go back to the phone lines right now. 216-578-0850. Johnny D. in Dallas. What's up, Johnny D.?
Hi. How are you?
Good, man. How are you?
Yeah, not bad. Just a little bit concerned about the start of the season.
Yeah.
I have a few points that I wanted to make, and hopefully you guys give me an opportunity to do that.
You got it, man. Go ahead.
All right. Starting with the whole quarterback situation, Matt pointed out a couple of things comparing the situation in San Francisco to ours, and I couldn't be further from the same situation. I mean, Kaepernick is their now and their future, whereas Johnny is, you know, possibly our future. We don't know that. But it's certainly not McNown. McNown is just here to fill in the gap. And if he's going to bring us mediocrity or below, there is absolutely no sense in starting him. You know, another thing Matt mentioned is Johnny does the scramble, and then what we have? He starts to make plays, maybe throws it across the field. Well, I don't know. In game two, it turned out into six, right? That last play, he scrambled. He threw across his body a little bit, turned into a touchdown. I don't see McNown bringing us that. You know, I don't understand. I think we had an opportunity when McNown went down in game one to play Johnny in game two, and we still had an opportunity to say, well, you know, we need to sit McNown another week and give Johnny at least another week to see if he can keep that ball rolling. Now that you went back, I don't see us switching to Johnny in the near future, My biggest fear is that we put Johnny in there when the season's already crashed and crumbled, and then you throw him into a rough situation where maybe not everybody's playing up to their standard, not that we are now, but, you know, the kid will get killed. We won't see what you have in him, and, you know, where are we next year? One other thing I'd like to mention before I leave is I think this team is the organization, the Browns themselves, are starting to lose the fans. I mean, speaking for myself, I haven't missed a game, whether it be on TV or at the stadium or at a visiting stadium since 1987. I used to be crushed every Sunday when they lost. I don't care anymore, really. I mean, obviously I do to a certain extent because I call you guys, but, you know, it doesn't ruin my day. I'm just like, oh, well, who cares? And the more it happens, and if we see another blow up of the situation in the season, the more I start to tune out. I debated getting the NFL ticket this year. I'm not interested. I have tickets to the Monday night game in Cleveland against Baltimore.
Sure.
Coming up from Dallas, and I'm debating whether I should go. One other thing is the coaching staff. I like Patton. I do. But, you know, this nepotism where he's got his boy coaching the defense, that guy shouldn't be coaching high school football. I'm sorry. The offensive coordinator's got to go. If Pet stays, it's time to bring in some real guys that can run a team.
Thank you very much for the call, Johnny D. And the Browns are going to have to do a better job, whether they have Josh McCown at quarterback, whether they have Johnny Manziel at quarterback, or whether they have Josh McNown at quarterback. It doesn't matter who's starting for the Browns. This team has got to do a better job, and they have to ultimately – figure out a way to be consistent and execute effectively going forward, or they're not going to win. And as far as the fans go, I get it. I feel it too. I feel some of that apathy that he says setting in too. And this team and this organization are going to start to have to produce a winner. And soon, I do think that all these people, though, are on the sidelines waiting for a reason to jump back in. Johnny D, if the Browns all of a sudden come out and have a 10-6 season and then followed up with another 10, you're going to be back in. But they need to earn that, and they need to do it, and that's what they've got to do.
Yeah, and again, the ultimate frustration for this football team right now is well beyond the quarterback position.
Yes.
If other groups were pulling their weight around Josh McCown or around Johnny Manziel, we would have optimism. That if if Johnny became the guy and played at a certain level, we'd win X amount of football games. That if Josh McCown can only do X while we run the football, while we stop the run, while we are top 10 in the league in sacks and turnovers, we're in good shape.
Yep, we got to do those things. Chip on his cell phone. What's up, Chip?
Hey, Nate, Matt, thanks for taking the call.
You got it. You got it.
Hey, just Matt, just what you were saying. I've been thinking about, you know, the intangibles. Why did the Browns look so good against, you know, the Tennessee Titans, and then the very next week we just really fall flat against the Raiders? And you know that when you look at those, I know, you know, certain players are going to cause the entire team to play at a different level. And I just wonder if one of those intangibles might be, I'm just throwing it out there, I don't know, but could it be that Johnny Manziel brings an intensity and a sense of even urgency or energy to the entire team? I mean, what you just said, it's not, forget about the quarterbacks, the whole team has to play better, but that quarterback position or those personalities of even between Josh and Johnny, I mean, they're two different people, obviously, and they have two different playing styles, but What about the intangible that they bring to it? You know, and Matt, you played, I'm sure you've experienced it. Maybe you were a part of that, bringing something to, in terms of the intensity level to your unit. And is that something to think about? That's my thought. I'll hang up and listen.
You got it. I mean, it is, and the intensity. And I think that, you know, Josh McCown, in the comments following the football game, you talked about, you know, trying to come back in the football game, how composed and the leader he was in the huddle, and believing in the fact that you could come back and win that football game. But there is an excitement, I'm sure, for the fan base, for the players, to kind of see what Johnny can do. And that same excitement and that question that you have about, oh, it's like, you don't say, well, let's see what Johnny can do, or let's see what Johnny can do and ask it as a question instead of a statement. That is the, I believe, that question is what's looming in the decision maker's head in why you don't go with Johnny Manziel. Well, let's see what he can do. And it can be good. It can be bad. And I think it's scaring them into safe, which is Josh McCown.
And right. And I think, you know, if you really wanted to get into it, you could debate the merits of how safe that is.
Right.
So anyway, I think there was some excitement that came out of the fact that Johnny Manziel made a Johnny football type of a play to seal the deal against Titans, and he goes back to the bench, and things seemed a little lethargic early. Josh McCown was the better quarterback all offseason. He was the starter, and that's why Mike Penn is sticking with him for that reason and that reason alone. And hopefully he believes he gives the team the best chance to win on Sunday, and hopefully they go out and they do that against San Diego Chargers. We'll be back with our final thoughts here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.